5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and, well, it's looking a little grim here in the center of the universe. And as you know, here in the center of the universe, it is always bright sunshine and rainbows and ponies and all of that stuff. It's always nice here in Hanover County. And we would love for you to visit. Come, buy some tomatoes, and then leave. I mean, it's not that we don't want you here. We just don't want you staying here. That's, we don't have any room. I'm sorry. We're all filled up, but come, buy tomatoes. It's beautiful. I was chatting with a couple of folks earlier today. You know, I was over at the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia, and I had such a great time. I'm helping out Barry Moore with these things he's doing. It's called... what is it called? Oh, my gosh. I forgot the name of the show. Oh, gosh. That's terrible. BBB meeting, highlight, something. No, it's a great little podcast. It shows the businesses. And I had the chance to chat with some of these great accredited business owners. And what I am absolutely loving is hearing from people who are part of our community, obviously. Again, you have a business, you're an accredited business owner in Central Virginia with the Better Business Bureau, you're good people. You're the people I shop with first. But chatting with people who are from other places who have come to Central Virginia. And one gentleman I was chatting with a little bit earlier came here from Michigan. Loves the area. And then I was chatting with a couple of wonderful people, Doug and Gina Brown, who came here about 5-6 years ago from Texas. And you'll hear more about their business. Their business is just off the chain, incredible, nothing bundt cakes. And they were just so nice, so kind to a discussion. And tomorrow, you and I will deal with the discussion issue. Is it icing or is it frosting? Now, Barry Moore, you know, originally is from Jersey. Barry said, it's icing. It's icing, Jeff. It's icing. Well, I got news for you. Doug and Gina Brown, nothing but cake, said, no, it is frosting. Tomorrow, and not right now, because we got other things we're dealing with, but tomorrow, I do want us to analyze this. It's a little bit like the entire Jimmy Sprinkle debate, which, by the way, would be a wonderful name for a television weatherman. Would it not be Jimmy Sprinkle? It'd be perfect. Or maybe a performance artist of some sort. Jimmy Sprinkle. Jeff 804 says Walmart yesterday had one full service cashier. One! Old people like me have a really hard time navigating the self-service, so I've just given up. It has nothing to do with being old. It has to do with this. I don't work for Walmart, so therefore I don't want to scan my own items. Heidi, however, loves self-checkout because that way she doesn't have to wait for anybody else to do anything. Heidi, as you know, is a far better human being than I am. I admit that readily. I don't have any problem admitting that. That's absolutely positively true. But I look at it this way. If I am at Walmart, unless I'm wearing one of those goofy blue vests with the yellow sun on it, I don't feel that I have to do the work there. I don't think I should be stocking shelves. I don't think I should be handling checkout. I don't think I should be handling any of that stuff. To me, that's part of the price I'm paying to purchase items at that store. Heidi's argument, and it's a good one, is this. How much is your time worth? Right? How much is your time worth? Now, if you have a job that pays you an hourly rate, you know exactly what your time is worth, right? Jeff, my time is worth exactly $15 an hour because that's what I get paid to do whatever it is that I do. Or it's $100 an hour or whatever it is. So it's pretty easy for you to do the calculus on that. And you can figure out very quickly if the math is mathing or not. Heidi is determined that her time is worth far more and her state of mind because she hates dealing with the cashiers at Walmart. I don't mind, because again, I just don't think it's my job. If you want me to do the self-checkout, And I get you'd like me to do that because that reduces your overhead. You don't have to have as many employees. You're not paying as much in salary or benefits or whatever it is that you do at Walmart. Well, then I think I should get a little bite of that apple. I think you should say to me, you can go through the full service lane over there, and that item is a dollar, or you can check it out yourself. It's going to be 88 cents. Okay. I might think about that. If they say, well, it's a dollar in the regular lane, but here in the self-checkout lane, it's 98 cents, I don't think it's worth it. But what if they say 78, 68? What if it becomes almost like surge pricing, like you see on Easy Pass, where they've got more and more people stacked up at the full-service cashier lanes? They want to get people through and out as quickly as possible. Maybe the discounts are increased. I think there's all sorts of ways that it can work, and there are all sorts of ways that I could be enticed to do it. But if the price is the same full-service, self-service, I just don't think I'm going to bother. I'm just not. The other thing that bugs me about the self-service, because if I go to Walmart with Heidi, and we do that, sometimes we'll go out and go shopping, do the things we need to do, and gives us a little time, a little more time together, which I like. Because, I'm kind of sweet on her. Yeah, seriously, I'm kind of cute. And anyway, she will not allow us to go through the full service. So it's like a mission. It's like a military operation with her. She's got the app on her phone. She's scanning stuff. She's putting it back, blah, blah, blah. But then she gets to the self-checkout thing, and invariably, one of the Walmart staffers comes along and says, oh, I've got to examine, I don't know, six items or something and confer. And at that point, I don't think you've saved any time. I don't think you've saved any time. MS Now. We haven't had a clip from MS Now in a long time. And you are welcome for that. It's not that we haven't had them. I just haven't gotten to them. But this one, I can't ignore. MS Now, which used to be MSNBC, which was what? PMSBC or whatever it was. I mean, you know what it is. It's painful. It's painful. So we are going to play some audio. I will give you the advance warning about drinking. And I will also say this. I want to remind you of something. I don't want you to ever forget this. I watch MS Now so that you don't have to. No. It's okay. It's okay. You're welcome. Now, with that, I'm going to ask you to take a sip of your beverage. Whether your beverage is hot or cold is irrelevant. Because as you listen to the nonsense from MS Now, you will be tempted to spit that beverage out, either on your laptop or at your windshield. And either way, I don't want to be responsible for the damage, whether it's to your laptop or causing an accident on the windshield. So, do yourself a favor. All right, nice refreshing sip of a hazelnut-flavored coffee. And with that, Germ, if we could please cut number one.
Well, Peter, there is a skittishness here on the ground in Florida. I just got off the phone with a Democratic strategist here in the state who reminded me that the general election electorate versus the primary electorate is very different here in Florida. In Florida, you've got about 1.5 million more registered Republicans than Democrats. You also have about 1.6 million members of the Cuban diaspora. Those Cubans often lean conservative. Many of them have a strong aversion towards communism. What we've been hearing from Republican politicians, from President Trump on down, is a conflation, an incorrect conflation, of communism and democratic socialism. If that messaging sticks, that could be a serious issue for Angie Nick.
Really? Is that the serious issue, MS Now hack? Let me explain this to you, Scooter. You know why the Cuban community doesn't want to vote for communists? Because they've seen what communism does. You pinhead, you. Channeling my inner Archie Bunker. By a show of hands, anybody remember Archie? Yes, exactly. Think about this for a second. MS Now, which is a tool of the left, granted, I mean, you know, everybody's got their lane. They stay in their lane. They're parroting all of the communist baloney all the time. They're upset. They're upset that the Cuban community has a memory. They're upset that Cuban Americans have an understanding of what communism really does. And they understand that you can call it democratic socialism because they saw that nonsense in Cuba. These are the same idiots who threw essentially a birthday party for the 100th birthday of Fidel Castro, a mass murderer.
Well, people just don't understand.
No, the problem for you guys is that they do understand. The most conservative of those folks in the Cuban diaspora, as you described it, are the first generation. Now, they're in their 80s at this point, but they actually fled Cuba. They fled Cuba. They saw it firsthand. Almost as conservative would be folks like my friend Jason Biarris, second generation. Jason's what, in his 40s, I guess? Maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. Marco Rubio, second generation. These are folks who know exactly what communism does, and you can dress it up six ways to Sunday. It's still communism. Only MS Now, only the far left wing wackadoodles could be upset that there are intelligent thinking people with memories in place. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if you are spinning a tail and you are trying to serve somebody up a big steaming pile of you know what, you got to hope they don't know exactly what you know what is. But these folks know exactly what you know what is, and that's why they're not voting for you. You know what? 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Taking a look at our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, my time is worth $30 an hour. That means I should get about $5 off for checking myself out. Okay, sounds good to me. That would be my rule. If you want me to handle the checkout, I want a discount. If I'm doing the work that you would ordinarily be paying somebody to do, yeah, I want some sort of a discount. And if you're not willing to do it, then I'm going to be using the full service, just the way it is. 804 says, Jeff, they just need to hire more people in the grocery stores, period. End of story. I'm short. When I need to get something off the top shelf, I'm roaming all around trying to find someone to help me. Let me suggest to you, go to Tom Leonard's in Short Pump. You will find plenty of people to help you. It's part of the reason. And obviously, Tom and Karen have been friends forever and ever, and TJ and Sarah and the rest of everybody. But all of that being said, I'm just telling you, it's a great store. And you will never, ever be at a loss to find somebody to help you there. 304 says, complaining about the teenagers. Grocery store checkup. Debates on frosting versus icing. The Jeff Katz Show wants you off his lawn. Yeah, I do. And I want you to turn that music down. And another... all right, yeah, you know, you're right. I get you. Let me see here. Jeff, one of my peers when I worked in the Pentagon was a Navy hospital corpsman who was born in Cuba. His dad brought him over on a boat, ended up in Florida. He joined the Navy because he was so proud of becoming an American citizen. He actually would cry when there were military ceremonies. Yeah. Well... you sometimes encounter people who cry for the real reasons, and then you encounter people who just cry because, well, I don't know why. The crocodile tears. We were talking about that yesterday, watching Big Brother, that Angela on Big Brother. Good Lord. Cries every time you turn around. And you realize it's just, come on, it's just full of crap. Absolutely full of crap. If you're crying every day and you don't have a prescription for Paxil, you're a phony. That's what I would say. So, yeah. But that guy, born in Cuba, joins the Navy, so happy to be an American citizen, cries at military ceremonies. That I get. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got our old friend Tony Pham. Used to be the director of ICE, of course, was the superintendent out at Virginia Peninsula Regional Jail, started off working for Sheriff C.T. Woody in the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. An amazing career, and he's got some new numbers on illegal immigration, and they're great numbers. We'll talk about that with Tony. We'll do that at 5:35. It is 5:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. So you be aware of that. The 5th District absolutely is going to be a battleground situation. The 1st District, absolute battleground situation. The 2nd District, battleground. It also carries down to lower level races. I talked to you again about Sheriff of Hanover County. We have a Republican, Sheriff Greg Six, who is the incumbent, and we have a Democrat, really, although he claims to be an independent. Well, the plan, if you will, for the so-called independent is to play the Democrat Party game. And there are going to be a lot of those folks turning out to vote. So this is going to impact everybody, just FYI. All right. Now we've got Tony Pham, I'm happy to say. Tony, thank you for being here.
Jeff, my apologies. The phone was on silent and I didn't hear it.
It happens. No worries. We're happy. We're happy to have you. I just kind of assumed that you were so busy over with your new X handle, playing the social media game, you just didn't have time for your old friends. But okay, you know.
Stop! I thought I'd do something crazy, wild, and wacky, and rejoin the social media world after a long hiatus, after being in Washington for so long, and being talked about meanly by the left, and how I was a traitor to the immigrant community, and I'm welcoming all comments now. So
okay,
let's roll.
Well, yeah. Well, here's one of the comments. We love you, and we'll just leave it at that. So now that you've been back on social media for a week, are you ready to leave it again?
Oh no, because in my private capacity, or my capacity as a private citizen, I really get to speak my mind at this point, right?
Ooh.
And call out the crazy socialists and the communists, and draw some comparisons to what my family fled from Vietnam, and how the party has swung that far to the left. And it's not the same Democrat Party that I think you and I had gotten to know in years past.
No, it definitely isn't. It's not. I grew up as a Democrat, and I was a Democrat until I was in my 30s. I make no apologies about that. But no, it's definitely not the party that I belong to. And so I'm happy to move elsewhere. What is the X handle? We want people going over to follow you.
Oh, it's just at Tony H. Pham. Very original, right? And you'll see it. It's very familiar pictures. And and I really want to have an opportunity now with you know, again, just being back on social media and really having an engaged conversation. Let's be honest, Jeff. I kind of want to, like you know, you say you grew up a Democrat. I worked for two Democrat elected officials for the majority of my career. And I brought some great lessons, as you saw, in some of the work that I did in the correctional and law enforcement environment. But as I got to Washington, I saw how things really operated up there, and how, you know, they were wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, shelling one thing and really doing another. And quite honestly, we watched that with this governor pitching her position as a moderate to get elected. And then all of a sudden, the very first thing she does in the beginning of her administration is swing the hammer and sign off on a lot of left-leaning legislation, like
That's
prohibiting
right.
287G agreements, right? That's
yep.
just ridiculous.
It is. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the numbers. You're a numbers guy. You crunch these border numbers, illegal immigration numbers. What are we looking at here? Are we doing a good job there with ICE?
Oh, when I say, are we doing a good job, Jeff, we are enjoying, let me say this, we are enjoying the results of very strong border security policies that are coming out of Washington. And I'll just say I was proud to have, even for a brief moment during transition, I was proud to be a part of that team that shut down that southwest border. And, you know, as you saw, compared to July of 2024, we're looking at July numbers because CBP typically releases them about a month in arrears. You know, we're witnessing another 90% decrease compared to what it was during July 2024 during President Biden's administration. And that's to be expected, because I think the American people back in 2024 provided the president a mandate. They wanted a secure border. They wanted to ensure that their communities were safe. And, you know, we were looking at some tremendous drops, historical drops. I will tell you, one of the big things is the encounters of unaccompanied minor children being trafficked by the cartels at the southwest border. And that's a pure indicator that because the border's closed, there's no more permitted human trafficking or child exploitation by these cartel members that were allowed to do this in the previous administration. To wit, they lost track of over 300,000 unaccompanied minor children here in the United States. And so I go back to something I mentioned before, which prompted the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, issuing the 287G SVI, which is the Safety Verification Initiative, to help find unaccompanied minor children. Mm-hmm. What I witness is the department's doing everything they can to help locate these children that were lost and trafficked into the United States. But the numbers indicate for sure that our policies are working. We're expelling a good number of individuals that don't have legal status to be here in this country, and level setting the field in order to determine the proper pathways to permit individuals into the United States.
Wow. I love it. Let me remind everybody, Tony Pham is joining us. Tony, by the way, back on X at Tony H. Pham. You should go over there. Give him a follow right now at Tony H. Pham. Well, what do we do after this is my question, Tony. If the cartels know, hey, we can't do what we used to do, there's no more human trafficking, Border Patrol, Customs and Border Protection, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, do we keep doing this? Do we take those human assets and put them somewhere else? How does this play out?
No, I'm looking at, well, a couple of things from the perspective of policies at yeah. AFPI, right, is advocating for the codification of a lot of these border, strong border policies. Policies are great through executive orders, executive fiat policies are great when you have internal guidance that to actually say go enforce the laws. It's important to have them codified. Now, granted, I will tell you this, and we've witnessed in the previous administration and Biden administration what the law says they never followed, right? Right. And so the law says mandatory detention, and there's internal memos from Mayorkas saying, not so much. And so, you know, but the reality is that, you know, we are a nation of laws, and so policies are, that work should be codified so it exists past administration to the next administration. That's issue one. I think we need to ramp up, again, our interior enforcement. And I know what the polling says, and some, you know, some Americans who take the poll believe that the interior enforcement has been a bit too aggressive. And I just read that most recently, and forgive me for saying I read it on a CNN article.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to figure out what, you know, what the lies are out there for sure.
Yeah.
But there's got to be the ramped up interior enforcement. And I'm looking at, you know, the immigration court processes, as well as the removal process. And in my mind, from thinking from soup to nuts, I'm thinking about how, you know, how do we present a comprehensive approach from, you know, targeted enforcement, right? Taking a look at the individuals that have criminal records, prioritizing their apprehension, fighting these sanctuary cities to turn them over to us. The fact that we have to actually fight a sitting sheriff like Sheriff Kincaid or Toscano in Fairfax to turn over a child molester is beyond me, but, you know, be that as it may. And then figuring out how do we put them into the pipeline in an efficient manner to have an expedited removal to their country, you know, their host country. And so I think that's the next phase, is developing a, you know, A to Z process that's very efficient, very pragmatic, and removing individuals from the United States that don't have status to be here.
Tony Pham is joining us. Tony has held so many positions throughout the years serving this nation. He talks all the time about giving back. Obviously served as the director of ICE for President Trump. You mentioned AFPI, America First Policy Institute. You're a senior fellow over there. This is your bailiwick. Tony, talk about how this plays out with the midterms. We just heard a news report. You know, the Democrats are pouring huge amounts of money into districts that traditionally would be solidly conservative, solidly Republican. So they are seeing themselves taking control of the House. What happens, God forbid, that occurs?
Well, a couple of things. Let me say, you know, of course they're going to have to pour millions into districts to rebrand themselves, right?
Yep.
They have a well-known socialist, El Said, running for Senate in Michigan.
Yep.
They got Mamdani in New York City. So they have some very prominent movement on the left. that is beginning to define their party as a whole. When you have your own sitting senator named Fetterman coming out and openly push back on the radical left nature of their move march towards the left, that says a lot. And we're witnessing their desires to actually, you know, try to spend and buy their way out of what their true principles and values are, right? And so they're trying to, again, utilize funding to rebrand themselves. But we've all seen it. For the listeners here, we've all seen it. We've seen the governor try to rebrand herself or brand herself, let me say, as a moderate female, Democrat. Mm-hmm. And her actions, you know, her actions say otherwise. And my mom always taught me, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. But I will tell you what would happen is the president's, initiatives will stall. The budget would stall. All of it would stall because that's all they know how to do is say no. Versus trying to figure out how to work, just like back from 2016 to 2020, how to work with the administration to perfect negotiated policies and legislation. Yep. And so we can have a government that works if they stay true and elect the conservative representatives, like you said, Kiggins down there in the second. Mm-hmm. Can't forget our guy Whitman here in the first, right? And John McGuire. We can hold the House, and as we should, so that way the president's, what we gave the president a mandate for back in 2024 can finally come to fruition as we begin to secure this nation. Yes. And that's critically important for voters who are listening, who are typically, what I say, four-year voters that come out for the presidency, to really pay attention to this election and that every vote's going to matter this time around in November.
No doubt about it. Well, Tony, I always appreciate you being here. I want to remind everybody to return to the world of social media over on X at Tony H. Pham, at Tony H. Pham. Please give him a follow, and you will recognize him because August the 16th, there you are here in Hanover County playing with boomsticks with a former DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. And all I'm going to say, Tony, I just let the record reflect this, Your Honor. You've got a good friend who lives in Hanover County who himself has a boomstick or two that would have been happy to join you, but, you know, it is what it is.
I will let you know, Jeff, that invitation is about to come out. We will be regathering again, and in Hanover County, Sheriff Six is fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And the folks in Hanover have got to get it right this November, and they will. I'm 100% positive of it. And you will definitely get that invite when the secretary comes back down.
You are a good man, Tony, and I do appreciate everything you do. And now at the America First Policy Institute, senior fellow there. We'll talk to you again in a week or so. That is the great Tony Pham. Seriously, get over to X, follow him. It's been a long time. He took time off to get away from social media. He's back, hot, heavy, and it's unfiltered at Tony H. Pham. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.